Wait, what? You can use LinkedIn to increase your nonprofit's presence? What are you talking about, David? Well, welcome to the Nonprofit Digital Success Podcast. I'm your host, David. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about leveraging your LinkedIn profile for your nonprofit with Daniel Alphon. Daniel is a LinkedIn guru who helps organizational leaders leverage their LinkedIn presence to get leads. And in the nonprofit world, that means raising awareness, getting more volunteers, sponsorships, and donors. Thanks for joining, Daniel. How's your day going so far?
Thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Wonderful. So let's start at the beginning and let's talk about some myths that charity leaders might have about LinkedIn.
Great. So there are many myths that LinkedIn users actually have. And with your permission, I'd like to go over a few of them that also affect charity managers, NGO managers. And the first one is that they usually think of LinkedIn as a way for them to think in terms of their page or company page. And in fact, just like you said, their individual profile is way, way more important. Now, why is that, David? Because if as an NGO executive or leader, your team is made of perhaps only you and you're a one-person army, or maybe you have a couple of other people on your staff, even if you have thousands of volunteers, your page doesn't count. The page starts being important enough when you have 1,000 employees. So forget about the page, set it up, have it located every 6 months, share once every 6 months something, but the communication with your stakeholders, the donors, the volunteers, and your marketing efforts will actually happen through your individual profile. That's the first thing. If you look at your own LinkedIn profile, then you have thousands of followers, whereas your page has hundreds of followers. And this is not something unusual. This is likely to be the situation for everyone listening. The number of pages we follow is relatively limited. But the natural action on LinkedIn would be for someone to send an invitation request as an individual to David, to Jane, to someone else. So forget about the page and simply focus on your individual profile. This is where you're going to get more exposure. A very common myth is about the size or the importance of our network. And I found that there are three ways to look at it. One is to aim for quality. The second is to aim for quantity. And the worst is not picking a side. Let me tell you why. Because most NGO managers and charity leaders start with quality. They connect with a couple of people they know very well. And then they keep hearing all the time that they need more exposure and they need to grow their network. So they would increase the number of connections from a few hundred to a few thousand. But the truth is that a few thousand doesn't count as exposure on LinkedIn. So few people, maybe up to 2%, will see whatever it is we share, that unless you have 30,000 connections, 40,000 connections, or 50K, then few people will actually see it. So the simple question to ask as a leader, in 2 years' time, would you rather be the most connected or the best connected? And because it's so painful to move from one end to the other, it's best to ask yourself, for the long term, in a couple of years' time, where would you like to be? There's a great way for you to have to reach exposure if you have 40,000 connections, because many people will see what it was you shared. But if you had 300 connections and you knew all of them well, then you could run a simple advanced search on LinkedIn and you would find amazing stakeholders. They could be donors, they could be volunteers, they could be staff members. And if you know, David, the mutual connection, then that enables you to leave LinkedIn, to communicate with that person, and sometimes to gain a meaningful introduction to that interesting person. So pick one. My choice is quality for most people when you start. But if you select quantity, go the whole way. Don't stop when you have 3,000 connections thinking you get exposure, because in most cases, I'm afraid you don't.
So for anybody that's listening to this, instead of watching it on YouTube, Daniel is sharing his screen right now. And on this slide, he's saying that your individual profile is greater than your company page, that you should focus on quality over quantity, that you should look at your website over a CV. So we're going to talk about that in a second. They should look at content over advertising and time over dollars. So let's talk about this website over CV, that it's greater than your resume. What does that mean?
Excellent. If you're not looking for a job, then instead of thinking about your LinkedIn profile as a CV, you need to think of it as a website that needs to convert your ideal reader. Your ideal reader, if you're a non-government manager, could be either people you're working with, your staff, your external stakeholders. It could be donors. It could be employees. It could be volunteers. And they need to understand fast why they need to read and why they need to reach out to you. So forget about the CV aspect. It's not really important for the reader whether you worked at that agency, started in October 2016 or December 2015. But have you provided them with the information that is likely to make them convert? And when I show your profile, what we see initially is a banner. So please take the time to upload a banner just like you've done. The upload will take you less than a minute, and it is likely to make anyone who visits your profile stay longer on your profile. And David, you know that the more I stay on your profile, the likelier I am to scroll, to see what you offer, to better understand why I need to reach out to you, and to be able to do it. So a visual banner that could be either from an event your NGO has produced, or a slogan of your NGO, or something that relates to the charity, or even a slogan or a motto you believe in, is likely to make people understand that they need to get a little bit more information and stay here. And that would be my recommendation for anyone listening now. Forget about the CV. Think about it as a website that needs to convert your ideal reader. And even before that, ask yourself, who's the ideal reader you'd like to attract on LinkedIn? This simple question is likely to help anyone understand what LinkedIn could bring them. And your answer could be different, or my answer could be different. Doesn't matter. Whoever is most important for us, this is the person we need to serve. And David, your profile is not here to serve you, nor is my profile here to serve me. It's here to serve our ideal reader. So thinking about it from their perspective and looking at it from their perspective and understanding that the way you see a profile is not identical to the way someone else would see it is very important. And a quick suggestion I could make is simply ask someone you're not connected to on LinkedIn to bring your profile up through the app or the website and tell you their thoughts. Like when they look at it, do they really understand what you want? And in some cases, you would be amazed. Because you've used very simple language, but they look at it and say, okay, does it mean that you're doing X? And instead of correcting them, you just nod and you say, okay, why are you thinking that? Why do you say that? And then you go home and you think about why have three people misunderstood what you wanted? And how can you best educate them in order to make them better understand not only them, but anyone about what you bring to the table. Ask someone you're not connected to have a look and see what they'll do. Some people will click, some people will go onto the contact info, some people will stick somewhere here or check something else. Understanding it from their perspective is likelier to make your own profile built or shaped in an even stronger way. So far we've covered three myths. Maybe it's, I don't want to become too overwhelmed.
I think that's a really interesting point to think of your profile as serving your organization, not serving yourself, and letting people really understand what it is that you're passionate about. Why is it that you're working at this organization? What is it that drives you? And then also publishing content or republishing content into your profile to create more content and awareness. Social media is what I would call a fickle kind of medium, right? You publish something, it's in the feed for seconds. Maybe you get some views on it. Maybe you've tagged it and people are searching for those tags and it's coming up a little bit more. But if your organization is publishing articles and content on their website, you can repurpose that for your own profile as an organizational leader to create some thought leadership around whatever that topic is that your organization does. And one of the things that you should think about enabling in your profile is called creator mode. And enable that, and then it opens up some other kind of functionality in there like this newer type of thing that's happening with newsletters in LinkedIn, where you can actually get subscribers to your post. And then when you post it on LinkedIn, it'll also shoot them an email after you publish. So you're getting right into the inbox of people that you may not have otherwise connected with.
You're absolutely right. I was listening to the episode, the conversation you had with Abby about content and repurposing. And because content is so important in social and on LinkedIn specifically, the best type of content I found to work on LinkedIn is top of funnel, educational, evergreen content. What does that mean? It means that if your organization or your NGO has content that answers your ideal reader's questions about the cause itself, not necessarily about what you want to achieve, not necessarily the donations, but the cause itself, the size of what's happening, or why now, or why should we pick you instead of something else, then that sort of content would be likely to resonate with your ideal audience, and you can educate people. And then when they visit your profile, some of them will leave the profile and go to your websites. And conversion, as you know, is likely to happen on our websites and not on LinkedIn. Simply think of LinkedIn as one channel that could increase the exposure of your website. And even in terms of your website, you have all sorts of content. Think about the top of funnel educational content that is likelier to resonate with your audience, and try to highlight that. You can do it through your profile, like you said, by featuring content, by uploading a banner, by having rich media in your experience section. You could tweak your headline. You can write the about section in an interesting way. And we mentioned the ideal readers. It's natural for many NGO leaders to think about everyone and to try to serve everyone, donors and the staff and the employees and the volunteers. But it's when you try to serve everyone, in some cases, you end up serving very few people and sometimes no one at all. So who's the most important reader you'd like to focus on? And if you have someone else on your team, then it could be, David, that you would speak to one type of audience, maybe donors, and that the other person on your staff would actually cater to volunteers. So if you think about donors, what kind of actions can you perform on LinkedIn? Probably not what we're thinking about. If I had a list of donors and I would find some of them on LinkedIn, and another question is, when we run a Google search for ourselves and for the donors, in many cases, our LinkedIn profile will top the Google results. So that's another reason why it's important. It doesn't matter whether we visited the account in the last 24 hours or haven't visited in 2 years. If Google remembers it, then we need to make it look professional. You mentioned the creator mode. The creator mode makes it very easy to follow any LinkedIn member. LinkedIn has close to 850 million members. And since we started this conversation, thousands of people have joined LinkedIn. According to July 2022 statistics, every second, David, three people sign up. So you need to really understand or remember the sheer size of LinkedIn. Find them on LinkedIn and simply follow them. Even if they haven't listened to this podcast and haven't turned on creator mode, within two clicks, you can follow anyone on LinkedIn. You simply go to their activity section and you click on follow. And in some cases, if they have the creator mode, you will also have a bell that enables you to be notified instantly whenever they share something on LinkedIn. Why is that so important? Because whenever they will share something on LinkedIn, you'll be one of the first to be notified. And in some cases, that could bring you PR opportunities or an opportunity for you to reach out to them, not necessarily on LinkedIn, and certainly not publicly. The fact that you monitor them doesn't mean that you have to shout the name of your NGO every time you see them do something, but it would help you and your team to know that that person will be given a speech about XYZ, or they now care about topic ABC that is related to your organization, of course. So start by following them. And if you connected with people you know well, look at the names of the mutual connections and ask yourself, can you leverage that relationship? So when you look at someone's profile, next to their name, you'll see a figure. if you're connected on LinkedIn to that person, LinkedIn will tell you your first degree contact. If it shows you a second degree, just like I'm showing your profile now, it means that you and I share at least one mutual connection. And usually LinkedIn will show us the name of that mutual connection. If we're looking at this and we have no idea who Michael D. Levitt is, we're in trouble. But if we know him, he's the burnout ghoul. So if we wanted to reach out to each other, if I wanted to reach out to you, I could actually leave LinkedIn, communicate with Michael, and ask him, could you put me in touch with David? And if he says yes, then I will have a meaningful conversation with you thanks to Michael's name. Simply because I connected with someone I knew well, I took the time to leave LinkedIn to speak with him, and he said, sure, with pleasure. He shot a quick email, and now we're having a conversation. So one, follow the donor or the potential donor. And two, if it's important for you, leave LinkedIn. The best kept secret in town is to know when to leave the platform. LinkedIn has shown us the name of the person. And the most important name is the mutual connection. But it doesn't mean that we have to stay on LinkedIn. And the worst thing to do would be to hit connect, because we would basically bypass our network and nothing is likely to happen after we connected with that person. Their reason for accepting our connection does not mean they have become donors. They don't necessarily care about organization. But if we leverage the conversation to have a meaningful chat with the person, thanks to our mutual connection, that could bring a lot more exposure, a lot more donations, and a better outcome for the organizations and for ourselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, with millions and millions and millions of people out there on LinkedIn, it might be helpful if you're a larger organization, if you don't have a lot of time, if you leverage your team to help with that. So, you know, willingness to give them access to your profile, to do some of this outreach, to have some of those conversations on your behalf and make some of those connections will help you in the long run. But there's a certain comfort level that people would need to have in order to give up access to their profile. If you are going to, I guess, go against what Daniel just mentioned and hit connect, you want to make sure that in that message, you have a really clear conversation about, hey, you know, like Daniel mentioned that I should get in touch with you because X, Y, Z, you know, I'd love to chat with you, et cetera, et cetera. Versus I see you've got a lot of money and you're a philanthropist and I'd love for you to donate to our charity, right? It's a very different tone and a very different way to have that conversation. And you want to do it in a very organic, meaningful, and progressive way.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, because everyone expects you to run your research before you reach out to someone. Certainly a donor, certainly an influential person. And within a couple of hours, you can gain a lot more information about that person for you to understand what's the best way to approach. In some cases, that means you don't approach them now, or you find some other way. And if we're thinking, we're seeing that some donor has become more interested in the field of education. So we can look at, let me mention a number of WOW Digital's educational clients. So the University of Toronto versus Leo Beck or Durant College, everyone here is basically competing for the same attention. But what makes someone become a donor? Are they an alumni, or is it important for them because they'd like to contribute to medicine research or something else? That is something that your research is likely to help you uncover. And leveraging your team and your staff and your volunteer could also be done very organically if you share photos and images and videos from your events. If you have a yearly event or something that involves the people you're working with, then sharing that and commenting on that, even if you're a small team, could gain you a lot more exposure for volunteers, for donors, and for other stakeholders.
Absolutely. So we're talking about this platform, and there's hundreds of millions of people in this platform. As you said, there's 3 seconds signing up. Like, those are some pretty fantastic numbers. Let's talk about numbers for a second, right? And in terms of people's profiles and number of connections, what's the upside versus downside of connecting with people that you don't know? Should we, as nonprofit leaders, be racing to get like 500 followers or 500 connections as quickly as possible.
And then let's say that many people listening to this or watching this have 499. So David, when they hit the 500, will the cause they're trying to help, will it disappear? Will something change?
Probably not.
Probably not. So I think connections is a means to an end. And even before tackling the issue of connections, I'd like to mention the timing. Okay, like when is it a good idea for you to grow the number of connections you have? So what I've put up here is something from a book, and it shows the number of connections we have. So whenever we opened up or signed up for LinkedIn, we were here in the x-axis, and each connection we had moved us further to the right. So if I have 100 connections, maybe I'm here. If you have 2,000, maybe you're closer to the right. But I'd like to draw your attention, David, to the y-axis, and that is related to the amount of information you're providing your ideal reader for them to convert. So if no information is available here, we're probably in the lower quadrant. If we have provided a banner like you have, and an interesting headline, and the about section, and featured links, that gives a lot more information to whoever sees this. So we want to reach the fourth quadrant. Let's imagine, David, we had only two ways to do it. One is to grow our number of connections and then care about our profile, or improve our profile, make sure it converts, and then sending all those invitations. What would make sense for you? Go right or go up?
You would want to have a full profile, right? So as you connect with people, they've got more detail, more insight, more background and more information.
Absolutely, because this is the equivalent of promoting your website before it's built. You don't promote your website before it's built. You build it and then you want people to see it. So absolutely. I'm not saying that connections are absolutely worthless, but if you focus on connections before your own profile converts, then you're leaving money on the table. Because many people who will see that profile are not likely to convert. And according to LinkedIn statistics, can you guess what is the number one activity that all LinkedIn members worldwide are performing on the LinkedIn platform? What is the single most important action that everyone does more than any other action on LinkedIn?
Looking at people's profiles.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So LinkedIn is peculiar in the sense that if we're heading to TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, we're usually here for the content. And we don't spend that much time visiting and reading and analyzing the person's profile. But on LinkedIn, people are here to basically assess you, and they would do it not by the what it is that you shared, but the quality of your profile. And if your profile helps them understand what you bring to the table, then they're likelier to reach out to you or to perform the action you want to perform. So before sending a million invitations, just have a look at your profile, make sure it converts, and then you'll gain a lot more traffic from adding more connections or sending more connection requests. And the good side about it is that I was listening to, I think it was another episode you had with Devin Mueller about guerrilla marketing.
Yes.
And you mentioned the number of the frequency of sharing. So the good news for our audience here is that you don't have to share that much on LinkedIn. No one is going to call the cops if you haven't shared for 20 hours. It's perfectly normal. And most of our network is actually not interested in seeing us post too frequently. Because if they know that we share every couple of hours, then they might become blind to our content at one point, or unfollow or disconnect, and certainly not engage with our content. You don't have a quota of things to share. Simply ask yourself, maybe even every quarter or every month, if you have a lot of content, what is the single high quality piece of content you would like to share as an individual? And if you that will, could take you 5 minutes. And that will be good enough for most people. But do make sure that your profile converts.
Let's pretend I'm a nonprofit CEO, president, and you've convinced me, all right, I need to be on LinkedIn. I need to have this profile. I need to get my team access to it so that they can have some of these conversations. I'm a busy person. I've got lots of stuff to do. I'm in meetings all the time. I don't have time to deal with this. I'll get people to help. What are three questions that nonprofit NGO leaders and marketers should ask themselves to turn their LinkedIn presence into something that will return some kind of result for their organization?
Excellent. So the three questions I would ask is this. Number one, who's your ideal reader? Number two, what action, David, would you like that person to perform when they visit your profile? And number three, are you helping them? Are you showing them the right information in the right order at the right time in order for them to understand that they want to reach out to you? And when people visit your profile, they come through a variety of sources. In some cases, it's a piece of content you shared. In other cases, it's the fact that you commented on someone's post or someone who shared something. So if Michael shared something and you commented on it, even though we are not connected on LinkedIn, I may see it and discover you simply through that. So first question was, who's your ideal reader? The second question, what action would you like them to perform? And we would usually want them to reach out to us, to visit our website or to attend an event or to register for a forthcoming webinar or something that would basically move them to our system. Hopefully we have some kind of system for us to nurture them. Maybe they will not be able to act today, but in 3 months or 6 months, they would be glad to help us. And the third question, the most difficult one, when we look at our own profile, does it make sense that anyone visiting our profile will understand within 5 seconds why they need to read it and why they need to care? You mentioned the importance of storytelling. As someone who leads an NGO, you have human stories. And the human stories could bring you more attention and more donations than the abstract problem. We know that there is a problem of poverty or illiteracy or whatever it is we care about. But I was earlier this year, I gave a lecture to the Weizmann Institute, a leading scientific university. And so the third question is, are we the human story? Thinking or describing the journey of one underprivileged teenager who managed to go and attend college or the university and then became a world-known scientist. It's just an example, but it could resonate with your audience way more than saying that you have helped thousands of people or X million of dollars. Whatever it is, the human story is often very, very powerful. And we can also take that lesson to our own profile. If we manage to write the about section or the headline as an interesting story, then we're managing to make people more interested in what it is we want to show them.
I think those are really important pieces. As an organization, if you're a large organization, you could talk about, you know, how you're raising all this money and how you have this gala, but bring it down to that small little story that you can help people feel empathetic about, right? And I talk about this all the time, and I would say at least half of the podcast episodes, right? You need to tell that story. You need to weave that through everything that you do. And that also means doing that in your LinkedIn profile.
Absolutely. I think you also have a content workshop and a WOW strategy program. So I don't think our audience needs to create content for the sake of LinkedIn. But right. David, I do believe that once you've created high quality content, making sure that people see it on LinkedIn is a no-brainer. Because producing that content may take you a lot of time and a lot of energy, a lot of resources, but sharing it smartly across the LinkedIn platform is relatively easy. You can do it within minutes and you can gain a lot more eyeballs and interesting people to see it once you've produced it. And repurpose it or used it in a way that would be appropriate for the LinkedIn platform.
100%. So when we're talking about our profile and making sure we're creating kind of some story there and letting people know what it is that we care about and why it is that we do what we're doing, you need to look at your profile headline, right? So why is that so important? And how should we be thinking about that?
Excellent. So by default, the headline is usually the title of our latest position and the name of our company. But is that so important for our ideal reader? In many cases, David, the answer is no. So think about it this way. When we run a search or when we look at someone's profile, the headline is the most expensive real estate, because that's the only piece of information we see even before visiting your profile. Say I want I'm looking at someone's profile or I ran a search. So I see here a number of people, and what I see is basically their name, their photo, and then a text. And you don't have to have your default headline. The default headline for you would be probably Chief Digital Aficionado, Wow Digital Inc. But that doesn't necessarily tell the story from the reader's perspective. And I'd like to read out the headline you've tweaked, and that's, I'm passionate about helping nonprofits with strategic digital accounts with a Canadian flag that I can't show here on desktop. So this is way, way more engaging for the type of people you want to attract. Again, we can't attract everyone. So if you're not into nonprofit, maybe you won't be interested in this. But if you are into a nonprofit, this is way more important than knowing the name of the company you're heading. So have a look at your profile and have a look at your headline and make sure that the headline is inviting, or if you just had a look at it, would it make people move and check you out? Especially, David, if we run a search and we have, 600 results, and we're basically scanning and seeing 1, 2, 3, or 4. And whenever we hit on David or Sean or Chris, there is a huge clock ticking in our brain saying, hey, don't spend more than 2 seconds here, because there are many other curtains out there. So the headline is really the single most important piece of text that could draw people into a profile. And once they're there, thanks to the banner you've uploaded and thanks to the featured items you've added here, 100% of the visitors to your profile are likely either to click on one of those or to better understand what you bring to the table. And that everything we mentioned doesn't cost anything. It costs you some time, but you don't have to pay for a LinkedIn premium account. You just have to use your brain and focus on your objective. If you're not looking for a job, turn your LinkedIn profile into a way for you to gain more volunteers or more donors or more stakeholders interested in the cause you're managing.
Awesome. Some fantastic insights on that. You've convinced me as a leader, I need to use my profile. You've convinced me I need to have, a byline in there, a description that will show up that is engaging, that talks about, what we do. You convinced me I need to spend a bit of time in terms of getting content into my profile so that, I'm doing some stuff in the space where my potential audience is hanging out. I've done a little bit of searching. I've done a couple connections. I found an ideal donor or volunteer. They have accepted my connection request, but nothing happened. Why is that? And do you have any tips on how we can kind of make that conversation happen into a more meaningful way?
Okay, so I think it would make more sense to prevent this situation rather than try to handle it now. Now, why has this happened? Because you've probably received hundreds of unsolicited connection requests. And the minute you accept them, you're spammed with all sorts of services. There is no chance on earth you would need. So people and donors and volunteers have become a lot more cautious about who they accept. And it's like basically receiving a phone call from an unknown number or having a spam alert when you do this. But you don't necessarily have to send them a connection request, right? In some cases, if you connect with people you know well, then you run a search and you see that you have 2 or 5 or 15 interesting donors. Leave LinkedIn, find the name of the mutual connection, and find a way for you to start a conversation with them. And the easiest step for you to do would be maybe to invite them to an event or to help them better understand about the cause that you're defending. And if you make it easier for them to attend, if it's a Zoom meeting, if it's something that would not be too difficult for them, maybe you could move them one step further to what is it you wanted. But don't bypass your network. Start with getting introductions from people you know well. You need to have a system, either before connecting or after connecting. If you decided to, you wanted to go for the quantity and you want to have 30,000 connections, then David, you need to have a system. And as soon as the person accepts the invitation, LinkedIn will pop up a message saying, see what Jane is up to, or start a conversation with Bob. And that means they have accepted your invitation request. Now, for the first time, usually you have access to their email address. At one point or another, it makes sense to leave the LinkedIn platform to communicate with them through email and to nurture them based on the system you have, if you have one. Or forget about this, focus on connecting with people you know well and gain meaningful introductions thanks to mutual connections.
Daniel, this has been a fantastic conversation, some amazing insights that you've brought to the table. Thank you so much for your time. I hope that the people listening have been able to get some great advice from you on how they can leverage their profile. They likely already have a LinkedIn profile. If you don't, it takes maybe a minute to go and create one and then get the, I think they send an authentication email to make sure it's a legitimate email, but like, that's about it. It's super easy to do. Go and set one up. Use Daniel's information and resources and items that he spoke about today to help you get more traffic and build your profile and create those meaningful conversations that need to happen. And, you know, like 20 years ago, you would be having these conversations in person at events. You would be having these conversations, you know, walking through your facility or walking down the street or at dinners with friends and family, right? Take those conversations, apply the same way that you would speak with people, but in the digital realm. Everything's gone digital, certainly over the last 2.5, 3 years, right, with COVID. But, you know, take these insights, apply them, and you're going to start to see some kind of movement from there. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, Daniel, what do they need to do?
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be part of the nonprofit Digital Success. And the best way is to go to danielalfon.com. You'll find all sort of information there, and I'm happy to help.
Awesome. So before our show, Daniel, we were talking, you have a freebie for people. So head over to danielalfon.com. We're going to have a link in our show notes page for you so that people can just click and jump right over there. It's a PDF that you'll get access to that talks about, you know, creating a profile headline that sells. It'll give you instant access to all of that information and why that's like super important for you to do. Daniel also has a book available on Amazon. It's called How to Build a LinkedIn Profile for Business Success, an Ultimate Guide. Go and check it out. There's some amazing resources in there. Thanks again so much, Daniel. It's been great having you on the Nonprofit Digital Success Podcast. To everybody listening, if you find this concept a little bit abstract, or you don't have the time or a team to help you deal with this, Daniel also has a done-for-you package. So head over there and connect with him and he'll help you out. If you want any of the resources, like I mentioned, we're going to have it up on the show notes page. Just head over to nonprofitdigitalsuccess.com/podcast. Click on this episode for all the details. And until next time, keep on being successful.